Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View here on BBSRadio.com, Station 2, every Monday evening, 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. Pacific, 10:55 Central, 11:55 Eastern. And here we are on Election Eve, Monday, November 6th, 2012. My, the year has gone by quickly, and as I always do, let me pay homage to the suits in the office at bbsradio.com for promoting First Amendment rights, free speech, free press, freedom of assembly, and thank goodness for alternative media, because BBS Radio and other radio stations on the internet and whatnot, it's a great way to find news that the status quo corporate Zionist news media doesn't report or smears or obfuscates with their CIA control and direct influence. So I always like to thank BBS Radio for holding the banner up for our First Amendment rights, and I would hope all of the Bill of Rights.
Right.
And so, anyway, thank you, gentlemen, for the good job that you do. And I, your mighty host, PK, here, I am learned in geography and history and economics and philosophy. And so we'll cover some of those things as the show moves on tonight. I had some guests scheduled, but that didn't work out, so I'm going to do it on my own, as I do so well. And if anybody wants to call in here at BBS Radio and Station 2 here, the number is 888-429-5471. Now, on this show, I totally reject the accusations, these usual smears and attempts at what I call censorship. I reject these terms as a way to censor all peaceful inquiry, debate, and dissent. I reject the terms racist, racism, anti-Semitic, bigot, unpatriotic, treasonous, treason, sedition, seditious, anti-American, and these sort of terms, which would stifle, again, which would stifle and censor all peaceful, objective, intellectual, scholarly inquiry, dissent, and debate. I'll have none of that, because political correctness has no home on this show, Third Stream View. And that's what the country needs, a Third Stream View, instead of Tweedledee, Tweedledum. So I will talk about the election here momentarily. So as I like to also do, I want to say to, because this show is not the kind of thing that governments like. People in authority don't like shows like this. So I would like to say to all of the CIA, the FBI, or the national security, all your little government pricks listening, taking notes, you know, screw you. And your fellow Americans, you do the job of the state. You serve the state. And everything is classified as terrorism. Everything's terrorism now. Well, I got news for you. This latest storm in the Northeast, that hurricane or that storm Sandy, that tsunami, that is much worse than 9/11. Not in deaths, although I'm sure the deaths number is growing a bit, but the overall damage, There's no comparison. I mean, after 9/11, there was still an infrastructure. Yeah, there was turmoil. There was a mess. But most people, that is, most people could go home that night to their homes, which weren't soaked, weren't underwater, financially either. Little pun intended there. They could go to their homes. They had food. There was a working infrastructure, except in the inner part of the city. Their homes weren't inundated with water. Their boats weren't on the street. This Hurricane Sandy is much worse than 9/11. And, which I thought about afterwards, thank goodness it didn't have a massive temperature drops right afterwards. Because if it had gone down to 20 degrees or such, I mean, imagine how horrific that would be. I mean, all the water in the subways would have frozen. I don't know how they would get out of that. I mean, wait for a thaw, but, you know, and I think there's another one brewing now. So, but my big thing is that I don't want them to rebuild right near the coast. I see these neighborhoods and these homes, you know, a block or two from the beach. They shouldn't rebuild. And if they rebuild, they shouldn't get any federal flood insurance, and whatever the private insurance companies want to charge them to live there, that's fine with me. They can either pay the price or not live there or move. Personally, I do not think that any of those homes that close to the sea should be rebuilt because they're in denial about the forces of nature. It's ridiculous. You know, I see these rows of homes near the coastline. Oh, people want to live near the coastline. Well, if they want to do that, they should do it totally at their own risk with none of this federal flood insurance crap, which subsidizes bad behavior, including people who live near the rivers, like Mississippi River or farms and all this sort of thing. What do you expect from nature? You think it's not going to happen to you? I mean, nature's bad enough in the things it causes. In fact, America has terrible weather. America's got some of the worst weather in the world. Look what it has almost every year. Plenty of tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, floods, droughts. You know, terrible weather. My biggest fear is tornadoes, actually. They're the worst. I mean, you got time to prepare for a hurricane. Unless you're New Orleans and you can't even follow the city's evacuation plan, and then the state, you know, and the feds, and the pecking order and that responsibility should have been, in Katrina, was the mayor who didn't even follow the city's evacuation plan, and then the governor, and then last the feds, you know, so that was a mess. And Hurricane Sandy, I don't know, probably has more damage, or the big Sandy storm probably has even more damage. So my point is, my little rant here is, it's ridiculous to rebuild in those same areas if these people think that they're going to thwart nature or it won't happen to them, because it's just, you know, you're just waiting for nature to come back and hit you, you know. And I've just noticed that I think today or recently, very recently, is the 65th anniversary of Howard Hughes' 800-ton spruce goose that only flew for about a mile. And it only flew for a mile, and then it was stored. And I think they moved it from Long Beach. I think they moved it from Long Beach to somewhere up in, Washington State? But I was always kind of fascinated by it. And I was a fan of Howard Hughes. I liked the movie. I didn't think that, what's the actor's name? Leonardo DiCaprio would make a very good Howard Hughes. I thought that was a very misjudged role, but it turned out to be pretty good. I thought it was quite good, actually. So, anyway, I was a fan of Howard Hughes. I wish the movie would have showed more of his education. I wonder where he learned what he learned. I don't know if he's a college man. I know he inherited a family business. He used tools, and then he branched off into movie making. But I like entrepreneurs like him and businessmen like him. And he didn't rely on the state to get further his aims. That's why I can't stand Obama. I can't stand Romney. And Romney is not the kind of businessman I respect. I don't see him as that much of a self-made man. He's used tax funding to get where he got. The Olympics, Winter Olympics that he so supposedly masterfully managed so well. Well, he got a lot of federal dollars for that. I mean, somebody else is paying for it. You can always spend the money or manage somebody else's money, especially if it's tax money. So, I mean, I still think of Romney as an oily, stuffed shirt, used car salesman, like I like to say. And with no disrespect to used car salesmen, thank you very much. So we have the two-sided authoritarian coin up for vote tomorrow between the Republicrats and the Demopubs. And I contend they're basically the same on most things, except how much they want to spend. Democrats usually spend a little more. But what we really have is we have a left-wing big government corporate socialist versus a right-wing big government corporate socialist, both pro-war, both pro-Patriot Act, pro-military detentions, pro-Gitmo, pro-war, pro-empire. And, you know, I've been debating Obama people lately, especially online. And, I mean, you know, they're idiots about economics. They're idiots about they're really stupid and ignorant about what he's done. And they give him a pass on trashing our civil liberties. I mean, Obama signed an extension of the Patriot Act. No one railed against him for that. And he signed the Military Detentions Act with the NDAA. I mean, that's horrific. You know, keeping Gitmo open, and it's always, well, I couldn't do it. Congress has to do this, this, and that, you know. I mean, the guy is such a bullshitter. You know, I just can't stand to listen to him, and I can't stand Romney either. So thankfully, there are other choices on the ballot, and the main one being Gary Johnson, who is the Libertarian candidate for president. He was the past two-term governor of New Mexico, and he vetoed, I think, something like 750 bills. He's vetoed more spending, I think, than all other governors combined. He has a massive number of vetoes. And thank goodness, and to hear him explain some of this stuff, it's ridiculous the spending that he wanted to do. And he didn't come from a political background. He came from – he had a small business. I think it was a construction company that he continued to expand. And so, you know, he came from a practical sort of hands-on approach, and he got elected. He got elected twice and in a Democrat state. So, you know, that's a good thing. And he did well, and he vetoed a lot of spending, and he still got reelected. So, you know, what does that tell you? That you can uphold principles and keep spending under control and veto a lot of useless spending and more government and get reelected in a state that's not even, you know, your party's state per se. So I'll be voting for Gary Johnson tomorrow. Yes, I, PK the Magnificent, I am a libertarian, going on 32 years now, studying libertarian journalism and economics and books and philosophy and trying to fight those battles and still get people to understand that what we do stand for and what we don't stand for. And, you know, it's a continuous struggle, but it's a good challenge, and we're starting to make a lot of inroads. In fact, I'm kind of fond of saying, and of course, I reject all authoritarianism and socialism of all stripes, but I would not mind a strictly limited government, a very strictly limited government, republic, and a one-party state of liberty, property, and peace, where political parties could not overturn the Constitution. They couldn't ignore it. And one of the strongest things we could have are fully informed juries, because then the citizens, with really informed of their jury rights, could veto bad laws and refuse to convict people, especially for, you know, stupid drug laws, prostitution, gambling, tax, you know, tax so-called evasion. And that would be quite the bulwark against more government. So that's how I see it. And I've just been informed that I will have a guest friend on a little bit later. My friend from Eastern Europe. I like his accent. He'll be back to say a few words. And we'll talk about the election. And he knows what's up. He knows that it's it's just a charade. It's puppets. I mean, come tomorrow, despite the outcome of the election, the globalist New World Order Zionist crowd, the Rockefeller, Rothschild, Zionist ambit, will have their new puppet, the Illuminati, the New World Order. They will have their new puppet. And I've, you know, I've long said, I think I said this earlier in the show, that the only Republican that could beat Obama is Ron Paul. But he speaks truth to power. He can't be bought. So they don't like him. The establishment, the regime does not like him. I wish he was more combative. I wish I could have coached him a little bit. There's some key things he could have said to disarm his opponents of both sides. I think that his biggest problem was so-called fellow, unquote, Republicans. You know, if they'd have backed him or treated him right, you know, he could have been the nominee, you know, and much better than a Goldwater, who was, you know, I like, but was far too pro-war, but at least he was a wrench in the gears, and the Rockefellers didn't like him. So, but anyway, regardless of the outcome tomorrow, we're still stuck, folks. I actually prefer Obama's foreign policy a little more, because I think he's less likely to attack Iran. Unless that bastard is just keeping it under wraps, and after he gets elected, he might do it. But Romney is very close to Israel, and that idiot Netanyahu, they've been friends for, I think, over 20 years. So, you know, Romney is totally a stuffed shirt for the Zionist regime. And the power they have here, I keep telling people, you know, Israel's not our 51st state. People are waking up to that. You know, why should Israel have to approve of their power structure? You know, the Zionist Jewish power structure. Why should that have to affect our elections? When are we ever going to cut Israel off the federal tit? What other country is so parasitic against America, on America, like Israel, who spies on this country, you know, who likes to influence elections? You know, the Israeli lobby is very powerful. So I, you know, frequently talk about it because it's interconnected to our country. You know, it's a shame that this is happening. And, you know, of course, for the most part, all objective intellectual criticism about Israel and Zionism or indoor Jewish power is automatically labeled anti-Semitism. You know, we get that. Just like I was debating this idiot Obama supporter, this progressive, the other day, online, and he went into the name calling thing right away, you know, because I said, Obama, I said, how about, I like the hypocrisy of our first mixed race president who continues to kill darker-skinned people on the other side of the world. And this idiot progressive, who's an older guy who should know better, you know, said, oh, you just want that nigger out of the White House. You know, I said nothing of the sort. He didn't answer the things I was talking about, the policies, the details. He wouldn't answer. You know, I said, how do you feel about Obama signing an extension to the Patriot Act? You know, signing the Military Detention Act. No, he couldn't even answer the issues. You know, and he came out with his progressive stuff. He's a progressive. I said, well, yeah, great. And I said, America's already had a progressive era. It gave us the federal income tax, the Federal Reserve, World War I, and Prohibition. No thanks. And this idiot has the audacity to write back and said that I need to hit the books. You know, this guy was clueless. You try to get him on facts, he couldn't debate it. You know, I shut him down. You know, he couldn't respond anymore. Again, if anybody chooses to come on and say hello to the mighty PK, or if you have any questions or comments, I'm here at 888-429-5471. And that's what our whole damn country needs, is a third stream view. You know, it's a trade-off between, you know, Republicans or Democrats. And they're still both basically the same. It's the same BS. We're going to get more of the same. We're going to get more the same foreign policy, more spending, more debt. You know, so Romney talks a good game, but I don't trust him at all. He's too oily. He's not the kind of businessman that I respect. And a lot of people, I'm sure that a lot of Republicans are going to hold their nose tomorrow when they vote for Romney. You know, he supported the bailouts, the stimulus. He supported all that crap. You know, to support GM or the auto industry, that is to support corporate welfare, crony capitalism. No, I don't want those people to lose their jobs, but by now, under a proper bankruptcy procedures, the company could have been reorganized. Instead of bailing companies out, I'd rather have massive tax cuts. I'd rather have like a 2% corporate tax, because what a lot of the leftists and, you know, the left doesn't understand, and the progressives and socialists, is that taxing these people more, or the well-to-do, you know, that puts more hindrances on investment. It's not a good thing. You know, I don't mind micro taxes and micro regulations, but I'm not a shill for big business. I don't believe in corporate welfare, protectionism, crony capitalism, bailouts, stimulus packages, none of that tax finance stuff. It just furthers the problem along, and it funds the special interest, the auto industry, labor unions, plenty of make work jobs for lawyers. So there needs to be a big shift in the country back to real free market reform, and that does not come about by more corporate welfare, more bailouts, more stimulus. You know, so it's funny to hear Romney talk about Obama, talking about the differences, because there's, you know, really not much. As I always like to say, just like Bush, and Clinton for that matter, but just like Bush, Romney and Obama, they serve the big banks, Wall Street, the military industrial banking or congressional banking complex, and the all-powerful Israeli lobby, whose front people are especially AIPAC, which I have properly renamed American Israeli Parasites Against the Constitution. That's what we have there. You know, and they're in denial about it. And Romney has surrounded himself with this whole neocon crowd, just like the crowd that, you know, helped Bush prosecute his war. It's the same crowd over again. I wonder how many have dual passports. dual Israeli, Israeli-American passports, dual passports, which is not illegal, but it just shows how heavily embedded the Israeli crowd is in America. And I look forward to the day that Israel gets its boot off of America's neck. They spy on us, this whole neocon crowd. But within Israel, there's some difference going on about, it's more debated, and you don't hear about the debates there that's going on that you do here. So that's something, and a lot of people aren't aware of. But although more Americans are waking up to the power of the Israeli lobby, and as I like to say, because I touch on this a lot because it's relevant to American politics and to American, just everyday living, is that America had no enemies in the Middle East before 1948, when Israel was violently imposed upon Palestine. And ever since then, the U.S. has had a mess, from subsidizing Israel and propping it up, and then overthrowing the Shah a few years later, and then backing other Muslim dictators ever since, the ones that play nice with the U.S. I mean, example today is not only Saudi, but Bahrain next door. I mean, very repressive regime, but since there's a big U.S. fleet located there, the U.S. gives Bahrain a pass. They pay these people off. They're protected. Their cushy lifestyle's protected, these Arab kingdoms, or these sheikdoms. And, that's how they go on. And, I know why the Muslims are so pissed off, because they see what's going on. Their countries have been colonized by the West, especially, Western Europe, over the last century and a half, or more so, all the way from Morocco, all the way across the North Africa, all the way across the Middle East, all the way to Indonesia, which is like, over 200 islands. It's the biggest Muslim country in the world. India's second. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I know it's quite remarkable that I'm an American who actually knows world geography and world history. And I know that And I know that the rest of the world knows more about America than America knows about the world. So that is a important thing, because most people don't even know not only about other countries or other cultures, but they don't even know what their federal government is up to, intervening in these other countries and everything they're up with, and to interventions. And so then they have these people, hate the U.S. Well, the idiot Bush tells them, because of our freedoms and this and that. So that's, Americans buy into that crap because they don't know any better. They don't do any homework. They're, too busy with sports and this and that to actually know what's going on in the rest of the world. So that's why the mighty PK is here, to inform my fellow Americans about what's going on outside the country, which is very relevant and important as far as foreign policy and what's being done in our name. And, it's the federal government who's doing all this crap. And, of course, then it comes back and they say they hate us Americans, although they've been up to it. The feds have done these things, and then we're supposed to believe them when they tell us, they hate us because we're free, when it's because they've been intervening politically and militarily in these countries. So I'm not surprised that there's been blowback, as the CIA calls it. And the CIA is a major problem with our country, too, because they've infiltrated the media, our schools. They infiltrate elections. Reminds me of what I think it was Mao said. Was it Mao or Stalin? Two sides of the same horrific coin. That it's not so much about how many people vote, it's who counts the votes. You know, and these damn Diebold machines, I heard they have an Israeli connection. I'm against those electronic voting machines. I don't trust them. And even if Ron Paul was a nominee, they'd probably try to screw him through the machine process. They would find some way to exclude him, or, you know, screw him, get him out, or probably kill him, like, you know, what happened to Kennedy, I think. Because Kennedy went against the CIA and the military. He became more of a dove. He backed off all this militarism. And so, and the fact that he was communicating with Khrushchev pissed off the military. So, you know, there's a lot that's gone down in our country in the name of patriotism. It's all wrapped up in patriotism. Like that saying, who said that if and when fascism comes to America, it'll come as the cross wrapped in the flag. I think that's quite a good analogy of what's going to happen, or how it would happen. And that's how I see it shaping up. I'm not optimistic about tomorrow. I'm concerned about the future of this country, and it's all the uncertainty of businessmen, and people don't know what's going on. So they're worried about what the future holds, their jobs, their businesses, and I don't blame them. And even though during all this I've been financially comfortable and sound, I'm still very worried about the country. Still very worried about what could go down. You know, I don't want to see a major depression, more unemployment. I don't want to see civil war between the haves and the have-nots. I don't want to see food riots, you know. So it's not going to get better under Obama. It's amazing how many people buy into his crap. I hear him speak, and it's like, you know, I can't stand Romney either, but Obama's, and they're both lawyers, so you're getting that lawyer speak, but Obama's, he just piles it on. You ask him a simple question, and he gives you that lawyer speak, and I can cut through it, you know, and I don't care for it, but there's not much I can do about it, just tell you about it, but I see it. I see it all the time, and I don't approve of it. I'm trying to get a hold of the guys in the office. Mr. Seth, if you're there, I sent you an email. I have a friend that's going to come on, and we need to contact him. So I don't know if you guys have seen my email, but I had a friend who was going to come on. Well, he contacted me. At first, he wasn't, and I let my producers know at the top of the hour that I didn't think I was going to have a guest. Now it turns out I do, because he sent me a message, and I don't know if they're looking at the at their screen for my show, but I would like to have them contact my friend John. So I don't know what the holdup is. Seth, are you there? Take a look at my email. So okay. Good. It's in the works. So when my friend John comes on, he's enlightened about all this stuff. And if we can catch John, he'll put his two cents in, which are pretty interesting, because he knows the American sheeple are at it again. They think there's a difference. They're going to vote for the lesser of two evils tomorrow. But you still get evil when you vote for the lesser of two evils. So I don't see it getting any better. I do not picture it getting any better. So we'll see if they're putting a call through now. But it's funny to hear my friend speak about this, because he sums it up pretty well. Of course, I love his Eastern European accent, but he knows, which so many Americans should know and don't, because there's so many sheeple out there, and they're living on their, you know, America's resting on its laurels, and they sort of got that mentality. They've been told we're exceptional Americans, and because we're Americans, you know, this and this and this, and I don't see it that way. So, still haven't located my friend yet. I don't know if he's with us or calling again. Okay, that's good. Still trying to locate my friend, who couldn't come on sooner. I think he was working, so I think he'll come on a little. He can come on after the half of the hour passed. So that's the game plan for now, and we'll see if we can locate John. But I liked his insights about the fact that there's so much similar between the two parties. I'm sending them a message now. Not using his real name. He thinks I push the envelope a lot, so he doesn't want to be clearly identified either. Although I'm sure those pricks in the CIA, they know how to do all that stuff. They know how to locate. They know how to, you know, they're the masters of deception, you know, and lying is, you know, should I say first nature to them? Or is it second nature? I think it'll be first nature, you know. So they are behind a lot of our problems, and they're in the shadows. They're stirring up trouble. Well, they had a lot of trouble in Libya. They were stirring up. They stirred up a lot of trouble in Syria. Now, we don't hear much about Syria lately, but that's a problem. And, you know, they're arming both sides. You don't know who or what terrorist is being backed or supplied by Uncle Sam. So, you know, it's a mess. And I would just stay out of their business. But you don't know who's doing it. You know, it's like it's the CIA. It's Israel's Mossad. You know, Britain's MI6, they work together. Israel is very good at impersonating Arabs or Palestinians. They know how to do that really well. And so I'm not surprised. Okay. Thank you. I'm trying to locate my friend still. So the CIA, you know, they fund these. Well, of course, they're doing a lot of the drone attacks in Pakistan, which Obama has tripled. And and liberals are in denial about that, too, about, you know, if Bush did it, they'd be raising holy hell. Obama does it, and they give him a pass, you know, which is great because that's what the globalists want. They got their puppet. He's a very willing servant of the New World Order. I like to say that Obama, our first mixed-race president, may just as well be a blue-blood skull-and-bones member. You know, because that's who he serves. He serves the globalist. He was groomed by Brzezinski. And Obama and his BS when he was in college and even after, if you've seen that movie 2016, which was sort of a neocon love fest too, but I did get things out of it besides the neocon message, is that Obama, with his mixed race background, he's real good at smoothing things over between, for example, the racially between black and white. You know, he knows how to walk the line and be friendly, and you know, he's just got such a line of BS. But other people are taken in by his speeches, and you know, reading his book with Dreams of My Father or whatever, his father who abandoned him. You know, so at his age to write these autobiographies like he's some great achiever, you know, and I think he's unfit to command. I don't think he's a good leader. I don't respect him or Romney. I don't think of him as leadership material. I think he's out of his league. I think the job is, you know, too big for him. Yeah, he's a mixed race president, our first one. I mean, big deal. I look so far past that. To me, it's about his policies, you know. I don't care if he had darker skin. If he was really advocating a free market, respecting the Constitution and individual rights, you know, I'd be all for him. But that ain't going to happen. And all we have is the globalist puppets in there. So I don't expect much change. unless it gets worse. I don't believe the economy is getting better. I think it's getting worse. I think unemployment is much higher than they say it is. And, liberals, modern liberals, they go along with this crap. They go along with it, they think of unemployment, they think things are getting better, I don't buy into it at all. I think it's ridiculous. I see more stores closing. I hear about more people losing their jobs. So I don't know what the, well, of course, it's just government lies and government BS. And so many people buy into it. I don't, but a lot do. And, they think Obama's going to save them. So I don't know what the deal is with this guy. I hate this lesser of two evils mentality, because I won't vote for either of them. I would rather not vote at all. I'll be voting for the Libertarian candidate, Gary Johnson. But otherwise, I see them pretty much as both the same. And some people are waking up to this, I like to say Obama-Romney 2012, or O'Romney or Obamney, basically. And just Romney seems so phony, so plastic, so, empty. That's what I get, that I think it's going to be a close race, and I think Obama might pull it off. But so what, it's still a mess. And the choice between puppet A or puppet B, I've heard that there could be rioting if Romney wins. Hear all this stuff, hearsay and whatnot. But it's really divided. And so I'm, not surprised how it's going to go. I've just heard from my friends, so I'm going to have them contact them again. I'm going to contact John again so we can get him on here. Interesting fellow. So let me tell my friends to call him again. If you're there, if you're listening, Seth, please call John again. I think he's available now. Hang on, folks. Hopefully they'll do that, and we'll end the show speaking to John a little bit. I think they're going to reach him this time. He'd been working. He was busy. So hopefully he'll come on soon. Nice to hear his accent and to hear his insights, because he's funny too. But he really knows. He knows how this is shaping up so much more than most Americans would. It's funny to hear. So on here on election eve, between either candidate for the one government party with two heads, or the one bird of prey with two. I think some. John, are you out? Are you out there?
I'm right here.
Hey, welcome to Third Stream. How are you?
Okay.
Would you care for your coffee?
Yeah, I have to connect to the computer, probably.
Great.
I'm on the phone right now. I just got back home. So.
Are you excited about the election?
Election, you think?
Okay. I like. A couple weeks ago, I think you sent me a text or an email about how funny it is that so many Americans they think there's actually a difference, when we know that it's basically the same. It's just a puppet show, isn't it?
Well, yes. I got, What is interesting is they got this kind of ballot thing, and they have so many different names that I don't know, like Thomas Robert Evans, Alden Link. You know those people?
You mean different parties, other parties?
Yeah. James P. Gray, Jill Stein, Terry Honkala, Andre Barnett, Kenneth Cross. These are four president and vice president candidates. Roseanne Barr and Cindy Sheehan. I don't even know this. There's people. I mean, like, I've never seen them. You know, I mean, frankly. So, I don't know what to do.
You've heard of Cindy Sheehan because she was quite a protester about the war a few years ago. Her son was killed in Iraq. So.
Yeah.
You know who she is. But there was a debate, I saw it last week, between four of the other third-party candidates, including my man, Gary Johnson, who I'm going to vote for tomorrow, of the Libertarian Party. And then they had, I think, the Conservative Party fellow that I liked
a lot. Johnson and Gray, yeah, that's Libertarian, yeah.
Jill Stein is the Socialist or the Green Party, that whole crowd. So it's funny, John, because I think if you grew up a bit in Eastern Europe or under communism back in the day, you know, a lot of the remaining communists or Marxists, they're in the American universities advocating a system they never had to live under as professors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, one thing in the theory, another thing in the practice.
That's for sure.
I don't think this society, I mean, like, in the modern age even, grew up to fit in either of the systems at all, you know. So, for humanity, I think free enterprise is the best solution as far as I can think of.
You're right, but guys like Romney and Obama, they support things that are not free market. They support...
Well, that's the establishment. That's the main establishment. So, you know,
welfare.
That's why in the media and everything, the media is controlled by the same people. You know, so it's like, you know, if you want to kind of have different opinion than so-called mainstream, then you have to really follow it, because mainstream media is not going to possibly tell an average person what the other alternative. You know what I mean?
John? I have not become aware of this until maybe the last 4 or 5 years, that how they're controlled and how they're basically the same. I knew it was sort of like that, but not as deeply as I do now. But you sound like you sound like someone who's been aware of this for quite a while.
Yeah, because, you know, you can kind of figure out, observe how it became. Because, like, for example, when you go 15, 20 years ago, that wasn't it. But you have to remember, 20 years ago, we didn't have the internet yet. We didn't have the mainstream culture, I mean, like, developed in so many different levels that way. So it was a little bit different. It was still a little bit traditional back then.
Good point, John. And
but in the last 15, 20 years, I think the major change started to occur around the mid-90s. You know, that's when the internet took over and the stuff started to basically get out of control, or actually to be precise, to be started to be controlled even more, because all of a sudden you've got all this media and everything available, and you know, you can penetrate it so easily if you have money.
Right. But I think the internet is a great thing. Sure, there's a lot of BS on it too, but that's why they want to regulate it or be able to control it more, because they don't like the intellectual freedom that's on here, because, you know, someone on the other side of the world can learn in 2 seconds what's going on somewhere else. And this is not a good thing. I'm a big fan of Julian Assange.
Well, what embassy he's hiding in London right now?
I think
Guatemala or
Ecuador. I think Ecuador is going to welcome him. I wish they would get him out of there, because unfortunately, Britain is the lapdog of the U.S.
Well, my cousin is working in the embassy in London right now, so she knows the story inside out. Actually, so.
What, American embassy?
That's one of the little things.
Which embassy?
I can't tell it on the way.
Okay.
They are listening to us. No problem.
But I'll tell you one thing is, I cannot believe when I have this discussion with Obama supporters, even friends that support him, and I don't debate them, but I'm sure you know this. You know, Obama, he signed an extension of the Patriot Act. He's tripled Bush's drone attacks, and he signed that Military Detention Act. And it's amazing. They give him a pass on this.
Oh, yeah. Anything that either of the both candidates will do will fall basically in the doctrine of the establishment made. So it doesn't really matter if the Republican or Democrat candidate becomes the president. There was a very interesting article I read yesterday, actually in the Independent Press, coming from Europe, about how little the president of our country has really in the control. You know
right.
What I mean? It is a very important thing to elect, obviously, because, you know, you've got, it's not only the president, it's the whole entire government structure. It's the other people that you are, because the newly assigned president is going to assign a lot of different people to, you know, important positions in the government, in the Washington, D.C. But at the same time, you and I, and majority of our listeners hopefully know that all those guys are basically controlled by the same establishment. So those people, when they become president, they are told what they can do, what they cannot do, what their boundaries are. And that's what they have to follow. You know, that's what it is.
That's why Ron Paul was a threat, because he would not play ball with them.
He was a threat. That's why he was marginalized. He was marginalized to the point that he's not even in this ballot. His name is not even here, so, you know, we can't vote for Ron Paul because he's not here, so, obviously.
That's true, and it's also important to know that people should not vote for Ron Paul. They should not write his name in because, as I understand it, most states will automatically discount the ballot or not use it.
Yes, the ballot will be void. Basically.
So that's why I will vote for Gary Johnson. He's on the ballot in probably 48 states. You know, he wasn't allowed in the debates.
Yeah.
And once again, you know, they don't want third parties.
Of course they don't. Are you kidding me? Absolutely, of course they don't. But because they still have to obey the Constitution. That's why what it is. So it's like you've got two levels. The first level is the Constitution itself that says about equality, says about rights and all of that. On the other hand, you've got the establishment. So the establishment will promote just two candidates. They will show them to the public on and on for months, for years. And the other candidates that are kind of independent will be kind of hushed out, marginalized and everything. But because of the Constitution, they have to allow them to become on the poll. But, you know, majority of folks that are coming to the elections, they will not know those names, so will probably not, you know, not put any marks there. You know, I don't know.
That's
what I think. That's what I think it is. So.
I like the way that Governor Jesse Ventura described it. He said, you can vote for Pepsi or Coke this year. Vote for
exactly.
Pepsi or
well,
Coke.
Yeah, exactly. They all taste the same. They both have caffeine as a drug in it and, you know, make the life better and everything. So I just pray for the United States of America as a wonderful nation, wonderful country, country of opportunities, country of freedoms, you know.
You
there
think
is
it's
no other country on this planet that I can really point to that would be equal to us, to ours. Of course, we've got still things to improve, and thanks to people like yourself and our listeners, there is a chance that in the future we may even narrow down our opportunities and things that we want to vote for, we want to shape our nation to go towards. You know, so that's the beauty of it.
Do you think the economy is getting better?
Well, I can tell you on my own experience, yes, it is going way better for me, for myself, in my profession. Yes, I can tell you. Yes, absolutely.
Speaking for your own profession, I don't see it getting better overall, and I still think unemployment is a lot higher than the government lies.
Well, you know, we'll see how it goes in the future. So, but I think it's much better than it was 4 years ago.
But for you,
there's still room for improvement. So, you know, as long as the free enterprise is promoted, as long as people are able to create jobs and, you know, spend money and fuel the economy, that's what the most important thing. On the other hand, the very important thing is you have to think of the countries that we ship our jobs to, China, India, and stuff like that. Those people are becoming more and more demanding. They want more money for their jobs and everything. So overall, it may be not so beneficial anymore to manufacture in China or other overseas places and have everything to be shipped here. I think at some point there is going to be the equilibrium that actually manufacturing here in the United States is going to be about the same as in, China. So why would you outsource? So I think it's just a matter of time of outsourcing. I think the jobs will come back here and big time in the next few years. So this is my thought.
Yeah, wealth has to be free to shift, you know, across borders and invest in this and that. I still think that it's China's century, and the U.S. can be more competitive. But, you know, now a lot of Americans are willing to work for less, which they have to do because it's called foreign competition.
Yes, because people have been used to accepting less, working for less, having less as a pinnacle, as a standard. You know, in our profession, for example, you see it every day. When we had our things going in the 70s, 80s, that was high level of everything. You know, right now, the minimum became a standard. So, you know, I think, you know, maybe in the...
You mean the pay level? What do you mean the minimum?
Like for example, in my profession, you know, what I do, the heroes of the 70s, 80s, these were people who we had to aspire for. They were not really promoted by the big television or anything, reality shows or anything like that. Natural. So I wish it came back that way. But, you know, because of the internet and everything, I think the young generations are seeking things. I can tell you more and more from my everyday experience. But the young generation is really, really something that is going to be dangerous to the establishment and everything. Because those people are really looking for alternatives, for things that are maybe not the part of the so-called mainstream.
That's why Ron Paul was so popular on college campuses, and he spoke to the young people about the Fed and Austrian economics. He didn't tell them what they wanted to hear, and they love him. They roared.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, as I said, it's still not there yet.
No.
We still need one more generation, at least. We still need 10, 15 more years for people that are growing up with the modern technology, with the internet, with the free message exchange, for those people to grow up to be adults, and that they will shape the world a little bit differently. They will put aside a lot of things. You know, that's what it is. You have to remember, you know, on this small planet called Earth, you know, we are just a small part of it. You know, it's in a constant change, constant development, constant experiment. Everything is for the first time that we've experienced as a humanity. We don't know where we are really going. How is it going to be? So tomorrow's day, the election, that's one of the little steps, you know, that is at least going to be important for the next 4 years. You know, but that's 4 years, and we are living basically in this country in 4 year increments. You know what I mean?
Yes.
4 years, 4 years, and then another 4 years, and in the meantime, you've got different changes and everything. But of course, it's kind of like a common ideology. So whoever you support, you believe in, that's how you're going to vote tomorrow. And I'm going to vote myself certainly in the things that I believe in. So that's how it's going to be.
Right. Well, we'll see how it turns out. I'm not expecting anything spectacular.
I think it will be a very close election.
I do too.
very close, almost 50-50. So, so what I talk to, like, my friends, colleagues, and everybody, you know, like, kind of listening to everyday opinions at the coffee shop, at the store, at the gas station, or anything. It's about 50-50. That's what I've experienced in the last 2 or 3 months. So I'm not expecting any difference tomorrow.
I see a Romney presidency more likely to get us into war on behalf of Israel.
Well, war is good for business, for some people, for some families.
Not you and me. We're paying for it.
Huh?
It isn't good for you and I because we're taxed to pay for it.
Yes, we are. But nobody really cares about, you know, taxpayers like us. It's about people that are wanting to make money on wars.
Well,
we are disposable. We are like, you know, we don't count.
As much as I don't like most taxation, if there was a war tax that everybody had to pay, when they saw how much it cost, they would raise hell.
But you won't tell, the mainstream won't ever tell people that thing. Because frankly, we don't have to be the policemen of the world. We don't. We choose to, but it's not really necessary.
Well, I don't choose to.
Right. You know, our geographical isolation is already wonderful. I mean, I remember growing up in Poland when you've got all these countries kind of next to each other. The troops can invade easily just marching through the borders and everything. Here, we've got oceans from both sides and everything. It's like, we are not really threatened by anybody. You know,
that's
what I mean?
Right. Our oceans protected us from the Viet Cong.
From anybody, pretty much.
That's right.
To be honest. So we just have to kind of be smart to, you know, to probably reduce by 50% the money that we spend on defense and stuff like that, and kind of make it a little bit more logically, improve our border patrol and stuff like that. Not to let bad guys into, you know, like talking about September 11, everything, how did it happen? It happened because they allowed those people to come here in the first place so easily.
You know,
if you improve that part, then you're fine. You don't have to fight over these wars or kill people abroad or something, you know.
Well, yeah, but my views on September 11th are much changed and much radical. I think that Osama bin Laden had next to nothing to do with it, and that he was the Oswald, if you will. And I firmly believe that Israel's Mossad's fingerprints are all over 9/11.
Well, there is always a scapegoat, you know. So, but we don't want to talk in the wave about stuff like that. This is like a major conspiracy theory. Maybe in 400 or 500 years,
yeah,
when if nothing to lose, people will talk about that. They will kind of bring up the facts and stuff, you know. But not now, not in the next 50, maybe even 100 years.
Well, I don't mind talking about it now because that's what I think, and I got the internet, you know, to do it in the show. But listen, I want to thank you for your visit. I appreciate you coming on. I'm going to wind this down now, John. But I'm in agreement with you. They're pretty much the same, you know, the parties.
Okay. Thank you, PK. That's nice.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I hope things continue to go well for you. I haven't seen you for a while, but, you know, I'd like to get together with you soon. And thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. And have a nice election tomorrow, will you?
Will you? Yes, I will.
I certainly will. Gary Johnson, baby. All
well,
right.
I already have my ballot. Yeah.
Thank you, John. We'll talk to you later, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Good night, sir.
Good night. Bye-bye.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, Third Stream View comes to a close for Monday evening, November 5th. And tomorrow's the big election day, so we'll see what it brings us. I'm not very enthusiastic about it, but I'm signing off now at Third Stream View. This is your host, PK, and I'm here Monday evenings, 9 o'clock Pacific, 10:55 Central, 11:55 Eastern. Good night, world.